The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar is trading lower against other major currencies. That follows the release of lower than expected inflation data. Consumer prices in the U.S. rose 0.2% in August on the back of declines in healthcare and apparel costs. Emerging market currencies are also getting a breather. That follows a surprise move by Turkey's central bank to raise interest rates by more than 6 percentage points. OANDA's Stephen Innes picks up the story from there.
Oh my, that was a real shocker. Basically, the Central Bank of Turkey raised interest rates 625 basis points. 625, that is just an unprecedented hike. But what really happened there is it stopped the emerging market carnage, because long-term investors are very attracted to high yields. So this is a stabilizing effect on the Turkish lira particularly. But because of this, it had a decisive knock-on effect across all of emerging markets, in the sense that it had some sort of solidarity effect by proxy, in that other central banks may also hike interest rates aggressively. So therefore, we saw emerging markets have a little bit of better flavor today, and this is primarily on the back of the weaker U.S. dollar, which was driven in part because of the Central Bank of Turkey.
Well, you know, we fret when interest rates go up a quarter point, and in Turkey they just went up more than 6%. I got to say, I really feel for anybody who has a mortgage or a car loan there and has debt to pay. From what we're seeing, though, what you're seeing in the markets, this has put traders back on their heels. Is that right?
You know, one thing that we have to be careful here is again, interpreting these types of moves. They tend to have short-term positive effects, but ultimately, fundamentally, nothing has really changed except interest rates have gone up. There's still political instability in the region. They're still very much in conflict with the U.S., so therefore, there's a lot of instability and a lot of uncertainty in that currency position, and even at that 24%, I still equate it to little more than picking up nickels in front of a freight train, because if you don't pick those nickels up quick enough and get out, you're going to get rolled over by the next freight train if the currency speculators start to move on that currency again.
European stocks are set for their best week since July. Markets across most of Asia finished the week on a strong note as well. Investors are cheering what appears to be a pause in the trade war between the United States and China. Shares of semiconductor companies and Apple suppliers performed particularly well. Checking in on a few of the numbers, the FTSE 100, CAC 40, and DAX in Frankfurt are all up between a quarter to a third of a percent. Here in Asia, Tokyo, Seoul, Jakarta, and Hong Kong all finished up more than 1%. The Straits Times Index rose almost as much, closing today up 0.95% at 31.61. In addition to the trade news, OANDA's Stephen Innes says that short sellers, people who are betting that stocks would fall, are coming back into the markets to cover their positions.
Yeah, I think basically what we're having here is a bit of a relief rally. I think it really started with the Trump administration offering an olive branch towards China to get back to the negotiating table, and the fact that Trump hasn't actually followed through with his $200 billion worth of tariff threat. The markets are breathing somewhat of a sigh of relief. So I think this has triggered near-term short covering rally into the weekend. But still, there remains a lot of uncertainty as we move into next week, whether there will be an eventual diplomatic solution towards this U.S.-China trade war scenario that we find ourselves constantly embroiled in.
Well, when we look across Asia, some of the biggest gainers today are in Tokyo with a Nikkei and in Seoul with a Kospi, both up more than 1.25%. Anything particular driving those two markets?
100%. I think it's a de-escalation of trade war, because both of those countries are major exporters and possibly could have been in the crosshairs of the Trump administration, especially around auto segment, because as we both know, both those countries have very, very robust auto exports, Japan and also North Korea. So I think that's why those sectors are breathing that sigh of relief today.
Stephen, with investors breathing a sigh of relief over this pause in the trade war between the U.S. and China, what are the markets thinking in terms of timing regarding the imposition of the next round of tariffs?
Well, this is where it's the uncertainty lies, because we know that the president could wake up really on the wrong side of the bed one morning and come out and issue those tariffs right away. I think what's happening in here is he's delaying them to see if there's going to be a diplomatic solution. The market was actually pricing in some type of resolution prior to the midterm elections, and I think this is sort of on the cards, and I think this is the anticipated result, is that the fact that the Trump administration would be ideally prefer to get these tariffs out of the headlines, especially when they're going into perhaps a politically contentious midterm elections in November.
All right, so given where we are right now with a rally happening today, uncertainty over when the tariffs might come into effect, but talks going on, what is your advice to investors?
Well, you know, I hate to spoil the party, but I think what we have to do is we have to be very cautious. We've seen these U.S.-China talks fail several times, and the big thing that Trump has right now is that this strong hand with the $200 billion tariffs, which he can drop on China at any time. So I would be very, very cautious going into next week. But one thing that we're ultimately forgetting is the U.S. yields are going higher. History tells me that these higher U.S. yields can be the death knell for emerging market currencies. So I think what we'll have to do is we'll have to see how the market opens up next week. I'd be a little bit cautious about taking on any new risk as we move into the weekend.
U.S. stocks are set to open higher this evening and potentially add on to last night's gains. Investors are shrugging off rising bond yields. The 10-year U.S. Treasury is now paying 2.96%, and they are instead cheering a pause in the U.S.-China trade war. The Nasdaq futures contracts are up about 0.2%. The Nasdaq was also the best performer in the U.S. overnight, rising 0.75%. I spoke earlier with OANDA's Stephen Innes, and he says that U.S. stocks are on solid ground.
Yeah, it's a very strange market we're dealing with in the U.S. I mean, when was the last time you've seen the S&P rally as much with yields going higher? So that tells me one thing, that the equity markets are in solid footing, and I continue to see good value in U.S. stock markets. I continue to expect U.S. yields to rise, and I think that's going to add general support for the U.S. dollar over the short term.
Stephen, what do you think this will mean for U.S. interest rates?
The Federal Reserve Board is going to remain on dot plot autopilot, suggesting that they're going to raise interest rates again in December. That's basically the big question in the market right now, and probably raise interest rates 2 or 3 times in 2019, all of which is currently priced into the market. Anything more softer in the economic data could possibly shift, but again, the Feds are so data dependent that not one negative or positive economic announcement is going to change their longer term forecast. It has to be a convincing trend over several months. So short term moves will be short term trades. The longer term moves will be made on longer term metrics.
Given that, do you think that there's still significant room for U.S. stocks to rise?
I definitely do. I think there's still more repatriation flows coming in. I think there's still going to be great profits coming out of the private sector in the U.S. The economy looks like it's on solid, solid footing. And by all accounts, the employment sector is doing really well. You put money in people's pockets, eventually they're going to spend it. And I think this is the growing narrative that we're going to come to get used to. I guess the only missing piece to the puzzle is, where's that convincing inflation print? You know, we're in a market now where the old Phillips curve is pretty much useless, in the sense that we can't really define where inflation's gone or when inflation's going to come up. I mean, we have, you know, the most expertise of economists struggling to define why inflation is not picking up right now. So perhaps the measures that we're using for this new age economy are not quite accurate. And I think this is something that the Feds will eventually iron out over the next year. But in the meantime, we're still stuck with our old inflation metrics to run with in the current climate.
All right. Well, you're referring to the Phillips curve. That's a classic economics curve that shows an inverse relationship between unemployment and inflation. So with unemployment in the U.S. dropping, you would think inflation would be picking up, but it just isn't. Stephen, thank you again for sharing your insights with us today. We've been speaking with Stephen Innes. He's the head of Asia Pacific Trading at OANDA.